What's going on, guys? Welcome to River City 93. This is your co-host, Elliot Barr, and tonight I'm special by a guy who is two-thirds of the way happy. DC United won, Liverpool.
No, DC United tied, let's say, so.
Okay, so you're like 1.5 third. I don't know math.
I would say I'm 0.5 happy.
Okay.
And I've talked about this. I was thinking last night, you know, Liverpool wins the Champions League. Like, middle school to high school me would have been like over the moon because I started to care a little bit more about Liverpool than I did necessarily, or it would have been a big deal to me. But I've started to care so much about the Kickers and DC United that I would have traded a Liverpool UEFA Champions League for a win last night for DC and a win last night for the Kickers any day of the week. Like, would have just done it without question.
I think half of City Stadium last night probably would have argued you on that point, but that's fine. By the
way, they can argue with me.
By the way, this is Ted Meyer. Host of RFK Refugees and yeah.
How's the Shekatila sitting this morning?
Oh God, it's been there with me all day. But yeah. Now we're gonna spoiler alert. Richmond lost 3-0 to North Texas.
Yeah.
Shed Tequila is not helping with that. Yeah. But I mean, okay. I'm going to start it off with, and I don't want to be like the person that's over-anical or being just pissed off because, oh, our team's lost, and I could be like over-critical, but I have a big concern with the lineup.
Yeah.
I understand you want Torre to come back in, but what we've seen from Bulo is that the fullbacks are very attacking. Torre is not the fastest. You had Lockerbie on the bench. Okay. Might want to give Lockerbie a rest, but does Torre fit that bill there? I mean, okay. Do you feel like the lineup was more defensive setup, or was it just like we're trying to solve like individual problems, like keep an eye on Pepe, keep an eye on this person?
It just seemed like, I don't know if Bulo was just like, it almost seemed like he maybe panicked a little bit and was kind of like, team's struggling, I got to come up with something, so I'm going to do this. I got to interject some players, and this is what I've come up with. And it didn't work. Like, it really did not work in this game.
No, it didn't. I mean, technically, we were playing fine. Besides even the first goal, the game plan seemed to be working up until about the 50th minute. I could argue, up until the 50th minute, it seemed like it was working. But couple of things we were used to seeing from the team is Maxi dropping in the center back. We didn't really see that tonight because we had a double pivot of him and Hughes. The fullbacks didn't seem to get up as much. And I wonder if that's the reason why you put Troy there. But then I don't feel like this was a good game for Ivan, because I feel like Troy would have been better suited as that center back. I feel like that should have been Troy's place.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I necessarily agree with you there. I think Troyer's abilities moving the ball forward are normally pretty good. And he had some moments in this game. There were a couple times he played a really nice long ball over the top. I personally thought he was pretty effective in distributing the ball forward. I think the biggest problem with this team is that once this team got into the final third, it was like they were just kind of like a pass off. Like there was one pass that they could connect, and they couldn't connect it. And,
yeah.
And that's why we're sitting where we're sitting.
I think that is part of the problem as well. If all the attacking ability is lying on Gallardo, I also feel as if that we lack an out-and-out striker, because I think we had Chin and Jackson both playing on the wings. To me, it's kind of like the problem with Man United. We put striker at wingers, and it's like, all right, these guys are strikers, so they're used to playing centrally. They're not used to knowing wing play. Like, granted, I'm not an attacker, but I know there's a difference between playing in the middle and playing out of the wings. That's why, like, me being a center back, I can never be a fullback because I'm not used to it. Well, it's a totally different thinking.
I mean, it's a matter of how much you want to try to work. If you want to overload numbers in the middle, then your players have to be really good at passing in small areas. If you want to be a team that pushes the ball out wide and stretches the defense and has guys run in the middle, you know, run in the middle to exploit that space, then, you know, you're probably going to want some, like, true wingers out there. And, like I said, it just felt like every time they got the ball in the final third, there was just a missed pass, and then, like, they weren't just were not able to get any type of pressure. And, you know, Gallardo was completely ineffective in this game. I think...
Oh, yeah, because I think teams now are starting to double mark him.
Yeah. He's the most talented player.
Yeah, teams are now starting to double mark, which is not a bad thing. I mean, that shows how much respect they have for him, but... I mean, Bulldog didn't start, from what I can remember, and Wape didn't start. So those are also two other... They're not at the same attacking level as Gallardo, but those are still two attacking forces that we were missing.
Were they on the bench? Were they injured?
Yeah, I don't think they were injured. I know they were on the bench.
Okay.
Bulldog didn't get in, from what I can remember. Mendez is another person. He came on, and he had maybe 5 or 10 minutes where he looked to be creative, going at people, but like we said, didn't come off in the final third, and that seems to be our problem. Like... I mean, I know we talk about it all the time, but shots on goal, and not even having shots on goal, it's just having that possession in the final third, because a lot of our possession seems to be in the back half. Mm-hmm. And then it's like we get to the final third, and it's like we overthink it.
Yeah, there's just, and then sometimes I think they don't think when they should think. I think there was one moment, it was in the first half, I know, but like, I can't remember who, I think it might have been Jackson, or one of the players got the ball. And I kind of, like, looked. It's like, you have some space to work with.
Yeah.
But instead, you try an outside-the-box shot, a low-percentage shot. And, you know, hey, if you can make those types of shots, fantastic. But sometimes maybe you collect the ball, you have the space, and you can try to find somebody.
I have no problem with you taking a long-range shot because it forces the defense to be, like, it forces them to respect it. But if that's what we're solely relying on, that's an issue.
Yeah.
That's an issue. And I feel like I feel like this game is like such a microcosm of things that we've complained about that now that we're getting, we're like, what are we doing? Like possession, we've had possession, but now we're like, well, we got to press the issue now. And then it's like, before we used to complain about them not taking shots, long shots.
Yeah.
And they're taking long shots. And we're like, oh, well, get the ball into the 18 now. It's like, you can't win.
I mean, well, the nature of possession control is such an overrated stat in soccer.
It is.
Everybody wants to talk about, oh man, well, they're controlling the game with 65% possession, and I'm like, yeah, they're controlling the ball. They're getting more time on the ball. But if all you're doing is making side passes and back passes, and then you give up possession, you work the ball for 5 minutes. I'm actually, and I find it kind of funny because I see Richmond kind of doing the same things that DC was doing. The difference being in sort of build-up play and possession and trying to work the ball. Like, they're trying to play that type of style. In DC's perspective, they didn't play that in 2018, and actually they were very, very effective. Now they've decided to change this, and it's been kind of a slow process. I don't know what the Kickers had in 2018, but they didn't have
much. Oh, they there was nothing. It was, look, y'all living on a plane, go out there and have fun. That's seriously what it was.
So I guess I respect the idea that there is an identity.
My fault. Not to stop you, Ted. But this is my personal like thing to some fans, and I've had like some people like come to me after the game and be like, "You need to be more critical of the team. You're being too soft." Let's understand something. One, I'm not getting paid for this. Two, we have to also understand this team is what, 15 games old. Mm-hmm. We are still effective, even though teams below us were playing at lower levels. This North Texas team's been together, since the age of 10? Mm-hmm. They have a system drilled in place. Even Bulo talked about it on Total Soccer Show's podcast about how next year, if we can keep 10 to 12 guys around, he doesn't have to teach as much. Mm-hmm. If the people that are not teachers, like when you have students, when you don't have to have, like, once you get a student past the basic level of just understanding what I'm teaching you and now going to the next level of applying it, and now they can go and teach others, it's a totally different environment.
You know, I think we talked about, you know, with the team moving down a level, you know, I think we all just kind of expected us, well, you know, we're dealing with a bunch of expansion teams. We're dealing with, like, you know, Madison and Lansing. These guys, you know, they're building all, they're starting from scratch. And we, you know, to be fair, we got some guys like, you know, Thompson and Troyer back. I'm trying to think of some other... Thompson and Troyer are the only two I can think of that have had, you know, a meaningful impact. The rest have all just been completely brand new players. And you've got a coach who's very well respected and was there. He was there were other pro jobs he was being offered before he decided to take this job. I think this team will still be a playoff team. I'm pulling back my expectations of them being like, you know, top two or even, you know, I think they'll either sneak in either at the third slot or the fourth slot. And things can change in a season. Things can rapidly flip quickly.
I mean, just take perspective. 3 weeks ago, everyone was making jokes about Orlando City being dead last on the table. Mm-hmm. And now they're what? They're almost tied on points with everyone. It's crazy.
I mean, and the gap is narrow. One right now. I mean, it's an incredibly narrow gap. And you can string together 2-3 results and suddenly you're right back in.
Like, technically, even though Richmond is now 8th, if we win next week, we would be 4th.
Yeah.
Like, that's how crazy the table is.
Yeah. It's incredibly narrow.
Yeah.
So
you're not out of it, you know. But, all right, back to the game. The first goal, at first, I thought it was Troyer because of everyone was just saying, like, that's what it looked like. But then going back and look at it, it looked like Hughes just, he makes a tackle, but the ball kind of just gets away from him. North Texas takes a shot, we block it, but then it just trickles out to a pot where our North Texas players are just standing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the defense turned off. It wasn't like in games past where the defense was just like, oh, person has the ball. You know, it's an expected thing.
I think Troyer makes a play for the ball. He gets body off. Let's be serious. I think there's a little argument for a foul there, in my opinion. Because I don't think the player in that point is just playing the ball; he's playing the man. But that's a call. I don't think you argue at the end of the day very much. You certainly argue it very hard. But the ball sort of slips to the back, and I really think the main culprit here is Thompson because he gets kind of caught. I think he gets caught in no man's land. He's not watching his back post, and the ball kind of trickles over, and he's kind of caught between. You can see him like push forward to try to cover the man that he thinks is going to receive the ball. Guess is wrong as the ball is. I don't think he knows that there's a guy on his back shoulder.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think he turns around. He's like, "Oh crap!" And that, but that's you know, that's you. You should be.
You have a lot of "oh crap" moments.
Yeah,
in
the game. Yeah. I mean, he just. I mean, that's just what it looked like to me, and it was like he just gets caught and in no man's land, and the Dallas players got a wide open goal, and you know. Very few strikers out there will miss that type of opportunity.
You wouldn't miss it. Like that's how it was. I mean, it was unfortunate, but and even still, even after that goal, it still felt like, all right, we are still in this. It wasn't like in games past where, all right, here comes the next. It wasn't like it didn't feel like it was going to be a quicksand moment of where the whole team was just going to collapse on itself because it felt like we were still in it. We made some good possession, tried to have things happen. Like we said, things in the final third wasn't working. But then the second goal happens, and I think there was a moment I just looked at you. I was just like, I wanted to blame Ivan because that's what just my immediate anger went to. Mm-hmm. Having gone back and re-looking now, my frustration is still with Ivan, but I feel like he was caught in two minds. Like, I felt like his heart was telling him, boot this long and get it out of your foot. Mm-hmm. And then his mind was like, no, listen to what coach is telling you. Play it to the person there. He plays it off to Hughes, and you can tell it's like Hughes tries to trap it with his instep foot and play it around another person, but he takes too hard of a touch because the ball is coming in so hard from Ivan. That then it gets knuckled off to a North Texas player who plays it into the pass behind where Hughes is. And then Ricardo Pepi shows us why he's going to be the U.S. Men's National Team leading goal scorer in like 10 years. Like, I'm not going to lie, that was a beautiful strike.
Yeah. The team gets caught. I mean, the team gets caught pushing up, and there's just tons of space in back. And, you know, North Texas just dominates that space, and they end up scoring the second goal. And then, by then, I mean, I think you had in your head the game is over. And really, the third goal is just like, you know, digging the knife in a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
The third goal, it was... Durko is totally on Ivan. Because I feel like he just takes a bad touch again. I feel like he's still... Taylor Rocker on Total Shocker Show talks about this a lot. About how a player will make a mistake, but then instead of getting past that moment, he will still be thinking about the mistake. And now he's thinking, all right, let me do the safe thing. And that's what I felt like what happened to him. I feel like he tried to do the safe thing and it backfired on him. And I felt like he kind of just froze up in that moment.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, where do we fall? Is this a simple case of just a lack of individual sharpness amongst the players? Or is it, or are there some deeper things that we should be concerned about?
Things can be two things and multiple of three.
Yeah.
I do feel like this game was wrapped up in individual errors. I also do think the last three games have been a result. The last four games have been a result of individual errors. Mm-hmm. And that's just not in a defensive sense. I think it's in an offensive sense as well. Because lineup aside, I feel like if you know Gallardo, you should know in every game you had, all right, look, Gallardo's our number 10. He's going to get double teamed. I have to make sure that I'm open to at least allow the pressure off of him or to make the runs. Like, Boateng, as much as I love him and as much as he is great at being a quality striker, he's still young. And I feel like at that age of what he is as a striker, I feel like his first reaction is get the ball, shoot. It's not, he doesn't quite know yet of spacing of how to drag a defender or pull a defender out wide. That's one thing I have seen in this game. I feel like Chin or Jackson would be great at that, but when you have them out of the wings, that doesn't necessarily... I don't feel like that suits well for their game. I feel like if Mendez and Mbappe or Boldock or Greg are out there, I feel like they work better as a winger because of the pace, the size, and everything like that. Chin up top or Jackson up top, I feel like they work better in that space of being a striker because they know how to use their body. They know how to push certain defenders out the way to then allow Gallardo to open up.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, I think this is a... We could look at this as... In one of two ways, I think, this game. We could look at this as this is the moment when it all started to fall apart, or this is the moment when things turned around because... You felt like in the past, the past two losses, they were just unlucky. It was just, they were unlucky.
Yeah.
They, wasn't coming together. You know, we had a great run at the beginning of the year. Unlucky. This is just when you're just flat out beat. This team was just flat out beat. You know, the fight, the execution wasn't there. And, you know, those types of moments. So I think this is where Bulo's going to earn his stripes.
Yeah.
Can he sit these guys down and say, okay, we got to work and we got to figure this out because... Troyer, Thompson, you guys were here last year. Do you want another season like last year? No? Let's get down to business. So there needs to be kind of, I think, a come to Jesus moment, so to speak, with this team because they started off well. You know, of course, we had the opening loss to Lansing, and then they kind of started to build it, and you're like, okay. You know, that moment, you know, a three game unbeaten streak. Yeah. That was the moment where I said, okay, this is not going to be 2018. This is going to be a team that's different, that's well.
I mean, you can tell about the clean sheets.
Yeah.
You've had four clean sheets compared to two of all last year.
Compared to letting up seven goals to
like Gallardo pretty much would be our leading goal scorer from last year. So, I mean, the qualities of this team are completely different. It's there. You can see the improvement. I think what most fans want is we want to see... We're not questioning the fight, but we want to see... The scoreboard going our favor.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the third year. You know, we've had two seasons before this.
Yeah,
I mean, you can see the downhill. You can kind of see I'm really since 2013, they won the Supporters' Shield. The next year, they kind of snuck in the middle pack of the playoffs. Then it was just barely making the playoffs. Then it was missing the playoffs, and then it was 2018.
Pretty much, like
which was so. I think that's what I want as a fan is I want this team to be competitive. I want to be in the playoffs. And I'm not sure if you let... I think there are going to be a lot of sort of extra particular factors that they don't make the playoffs. There are going to be some extraneous factors of the weather. I think Bulo should go. But I mean, the playoffs have to be a minimum for him to have it to be relatively sure he can keep his job.
All right, me personally, I don't even think. I think the only way how Beal loses his job is if we completely like bottom out, like ninth, mm-hmm. 10th place, and you could just tell.
I mean, really, it's going to come down to whether he loses the locker room or not. Yeah. I mean, and I don't think he will.
Oh, we're nowhere near to that point.
I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah. And look, if he can survive 2018 with the team that we had, this locker room is not leaving. Yeah. And I don't think there's no reason to even think that. I think realistic expectations, if you talk to people around the league and other fans from outside, I think North Texas and Tormenta are two teams that are in a different category. Everyone else, the other eight teams, it's kind of like a toss-up. Because mm-hmm. you can make a case for Chattanooga, for Lansing, for Greenville, for anyone.
For Richmond. I mean,
for Richmond. Yeah. You can make a case for anyone to be who should be in, who should be out, who should get those other two spots. But, I mean, right now, I think we're just going through our rough patch. Mm-hmm. And you get past this mode because if we beat Tucson on the road, beat Chattanooga, in 2 weeks, we're having a totally different conversation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's just one of those things. I think once every team kind of gets on stable ground, I think now we're kind of seeing the table kind of formulate. I think all the two teams have a game left to play against each other, but I think that will be settled out around the end of June. So then, really, you can look at the table in July 1st and tell, like, all right, you essentially have 2 months left, really 2.5, to figure it out. Who's going to get in, who's not. And get it fixed.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get some wins on the road now because you're heading up right now on a road stretch.
Yeah,
where you need to pick up some points, however it comes, and you got to win. I mean, obviously, you got to beat Chattanooga at home. You got to.
Yeah. really, like you look at it, the next after the Chattanooga game, you get two on the road, two at home, two on the road, and then. August 17th, you play TFC. So it's. You don't want to start. I mean, Richmond are not in the luxury of trying to, like, pick out games we can win and lose. Mm-hmm. And it's too easy to even, like, stat track on the league, but.
I mean, imagine that. Like, I think they should win, like, against Orlando City B that they ended up losing, and, yeah. You know.
I mean, honestly, that was the draw.
Yeah.
That was the game you should have drawn.
Yeah. Especially after the fight back and everything, and yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Yeah, let's.
There's another ad read, but something that is very important. The River City Red Army is partnering with Diversity Richmond to support local LGBTQ community here in the city. The Red Army prides itself on fostering an environment that welcomes all individuals to our section. For every goal scored by the Richmond Kickers in the month of June, 5 possible matches, I believe, they're going to pledge a few dollars per goal that will go to support Diversity Richmond. Diversity Richmond envisions a community where LGBTQ plus citizens are treated with respect and dignity, and their unique gifts are championed and celebrated, thereby strengthening our community. So, if you want to go help support, go to Pride Razor. We'll be down in the comments below. You can check out there. Click on the link there and go support. So hopefully the Kickers score a ton of goals so you can pretty much bankrupt the Red Army. That's what you want to happen. All right. More positive notes. I promise you the whole podcast is not going to be negative. On to more positive notes. We play FC Tucson on the road. 10:30 at night kickoff?
Yeah.
I feel like the league got to do 10:30 at night? Really?
This is 5:30 on the schedule. Are you sure you got that right?
I mean, it's 10:30 for us here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 5:30 for them there.
Well, I mean, that doesn't...
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe the kicker schedule's not up to date on that, but it says 5:30 on the kicker schedule.
Maybe because they got it for Arizona time, but...
Yeah.
maybe. So, the last game we played was a 2-0 win. Late, but it was kind of... FC Tucson kind of went with his tactic of we're going to get the ball, we're going to sit deep, kick the ball long up. If we get the knockdown, great. If not, pressure.
Yeah.
Richmond did a good job of handling that. I want to call them Arizona so badly. FC Tucson wasn't really taking a whole bunch of shots that seemed dangerous. They had shots, but it wasn't nothing where they didn't have a Ricardo Pepi opening. So I wonder if they're going to go with that same game plan again. They're coming off of, a draw in their last game. Am I right in saying that? Yeah, a draw against Orlando City B. How do you feel like this game's going to play out?
I mean, in my opinion, you went and beat them 2-0 at home, when you last played them. So you should get a win. I mean, at this point now, after dropping, I'm not mad necessarily about the North Texas game, but certainly the Greenville game and the Orlando City B game. Those are games where if you're going to drop those types of results, then you need to start beating the teams that you've already beaten. And Chattanooga's one of them, and FC Tucson's the other.
Yeah.
I thought we were very effective in that FC Tucson game. I thought we played probably some of the best soccer.
Let me pull it up real quick.
Some of the best soccer I've seen the Kickers play in a long time.
So we had 60% possession. We had 11 chances created. We doubled their passes. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, it was one of the best games we've had. We pretty much.
I mean, in my opinion, stifled them. Must win. I think must win. I don't know if I would be happy with the draw out of this game, to be honest.
Oh, Tucson? No.
Yeah.
I feel like there is, talking to the players after the game, I definitely feel like there is an intensity now of like, we're not happy. I mean, sure, I don't think.
So I think what happened is, I think we saw this team get kind of kicked in the mouth in the opening game against Lansing. And you saw a response.
Yeah.
You saw the team press. You saw it. And then, of course, the game on the road against Lansing. I think that was a moment when I think this team said, okay, we got to start playing better. We got to start pushing the envelope. And they did it over the next three games. They started to win, put results together. They started to climb up the standings. And suddenly you're thinking, here we go. This is going to be great. And, they went up against the amateur team and absolutely just did what they did, their bit, handle their business. Yeah, handle the business and beat them.
Then you had a Tucson win. And then.
And then it's like, I think you get a little bit. You're riding a little high. You suffer a tough loss, but you fight back, and then it's like, and then you don't. That doesn't carry over, and you. Yeah. So, I think this North Texas game has to be a moment when this team just says they got to pull themselves back together again, and start. No one's gonna hand them this League One, trophy. They got to fight for it. It's gonna be a dogfight.
It is. I think that's the whole league. I think Weston for Capital Combustion even made a good thing about it. He was like, looking at the table now, you have, like we were saying, you have five teams. You can make a case for all five of them, why they should be in and why they should not be in.
Yeah.
one thing I did see is that, I don't think North Texas had a set piece, but if they did, we did give up a goal of a set piece.
Yeah.
That's a positive.
Positive.
Yeah. Another positive is, outside of the back four, I do like the double pivot with Hughes and Maxey. I feel like that worked. That's a good partnership.
The team is making. One thing I will respect about Bulo is I think he's got. I mean, the team did make some of the nice one touch passing.
Yeah, move the definitely. Ball forward.
Get it Most into. Definitely. They got it into dangerous positions. It's just once they got there,
what do I do?
Yeah, it was that one pass. So that's the positive I'm going with is that the 3-0 scoreline did not reflect how most of that game looked.
Yeah.
So to speak, and it's just it's a problem with when you create those chances, you have to execute. You actually have to execute on a shot, some type of shot. You've got to force the keeper into a save, and you got to do it, 3-4 times a game. Yeah. If you're not doing it 3 or 4 times a game, then you're not going to win many soccer games.
I think if we get in the range of this Richmond kicker team, I think if we're in the range of 6 to 9 shots per game, I feel like that's a recipe for winning.
Yeah, I mean, is it
anything below 5, anything below 6 is kind of just like, all right, something's not clicking right.
Yeah.
You got to get more shots on goal and force the issue and force the keeper to get tired.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's not just shots, it's shots on goal. I mean, you got to execute a lot of high. If you have 20 shots on goal, if you have 20 shots and like 2 of them are on goal, you got a problem. You're not picking your shots correctly. You're not executing well. You're just chucking up prayers and hoping that it can work. And yeah, you can win on one shot on goal. I saw DC do it. Literally on one shot on goal, but.
We did see some surprise substitutions. Mendez got in. He played decent. Ekinrogue came in. I think this is his first substitution appearance since the beginning part of the year. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see him come back. Amos, I'm assuming Amos is still injured. I feel like he would help out a lot being a winger. Because it seems like right now we're missing a left winger.
Yeah.
That's something that's really hurting us. The right side is locked down fine, perfect. I feel like we're missing that side.
And 10 shots with 3 on target, that's not good enough. That's like a 30% chance rate. So, that's not the type of shooting accuracy you want. If you're gonna have 30%, you're gonna want a lot more shots then.
At that point. Most definitely.
All right.
We're
powering through this podcast, folks.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Note to self: never drink shed tequila.
Shed tequila is not a good thing.
Not a positive thing. Definitely not in Richmond summer heat. But that being said, guys, you can check out the podcast on Twitter at RiverCity93. You can also listen to us on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Anchor FM, and, of course, the Beautiful Game Network. When you go to Beautiful Game Network, you can check out a host of podcasts from USL League One, USL League Championship, MLS, and many others. We also want to say thank you to our sponsors, Golden Gold Press, the best choice for you to get custom shirts, hats, mugs, and other items for yourself or your organization. You can also check out their amazing products for a fraction of their price, of course, at GoToGoPress.com. Also, thank you to Roughneck Scarves, official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, USS Soccer. You can get your custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Also, big shout out to Gordon Glover and the Red Army this past weekend for your glorious event, winning the Champions League. I believe we raised $126 towards Diversity Richmond. For those who didn't know, you probably already know the ad read in the middle of the podcast. We are raising money for Diversity Richmond through PodRaiser. You can go to PodRaiser.com, make a pledge to every goal that a Richmond kicker score. So, didn't work well in game one. But we have, 3 more games left in the year? Left in a month. So, hopefully, we scored a buttload of goals and donated a whole lot of money, regardless. But with that being said, guys, Ted, you got anything you want to say?
Just great crowd last night. I think that was about, 4,000? 4.5 thousand people at the game.
Section O was rocking. The crowd was rocking.
Yeah.
It was a lot of Liverpool red.
I think after a couple of games where the crowd started to dip down into the 2,000 range, I think it was nice for me to see a stadium that full and to see people coming out.
Yeah, not even full, but with the sample of people in the seats actually engaging with the game. Mm-hmm. And that was great to see. But with that being said, guys, keep us on the good side. Yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah.